亲爱的奉献者们，大家早上好。今天是2018年5月26日，星期六。欢迎收听外昆塔奉献者之音。今天我们邀请到亲爱的萨迦德瓦法布为我们讲述圣典博加瓦坦的早课。谢谢。
Good morning to all the devotees in China. We're so happy to have Narayani Devi Dasi back.
中国的奉献者们，大家早上好。我们今天很高兴，就是 Narayani Mataji 就是我能够来给大家做翻译。
I don't think there are any questions from last week, right?
应该上个星期没有问题留下，对吧？
我看一下，应该是没有。
She's checking.
Okay. So today we are on Canto 6, Chapter 1, Text 36. Actually, it's 34 through 36.
所以说今天我们要讲述的博加瓦坦是第六篇第一章第34到36十节。
And the title of the chapter is The History of the Life Ajamil.
而这一章节的题目是阿加米勒的生平。
So, Satyani Mataji, did you find anything?
Satyani Mataji, 你找到没有？上个星期有没有问题？
I can hear the tropical birds in the background.
没有，没有，是的，我查了，没有。
Yes, no questions from last week.
Okay, so we'll continue with our reading then, and then if some questions come in today, we'll answer them.
Okay, 所以说我们现在就开始今天的早课啦。
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 So I'll read the Sanskrit, and then we'll do the word for word and translation, and then I'll just have you read the purport in Chinese.
OK, 所以我们现在来先一起读一下梵文，然后进行字对字的翻译，接着就是译文，然后最后再由我来把要旨朗读给大家听。
Sarve Padma Palasa Laksha Pita Kausha Vasa Kirtina Kudalino Lasat Pushkara MalinaSarvena Nutna Vesa Sarve Charu Chaturbuja Danur Nisangasi Gada Sankha Chakrambuja Shriya Visho Viti Mira Loka Kurvanta Svena Tejasa Kemartan Dharma Palasha.Kinkarano Nishedanat. Word for word. Sarve.
你们全体。
Padma Palasa Aksha.
有着莲花似的眼睛。
Pita.
黄色。
Shao, let's see. Shao Shaya.
丝绸。
Vasasa.
穿着衣服
Kiritina
戴头盔
Kundalina
戴耳环
Lasat
闪闪发光
Pushkara Malina
佩戴莲花花环
Sarve
你们全体
Cha
还有
Nutna Vasya Vasasa
朝气蓬勃
Sarve
你们全体
Charu
很美
Chaturbhuja
有四条臂膀
Danu
弓
Nisanga
箭筒
Asi
宝刀。
Gada。
大头棒。
Shanka。
海螺。
Chakra。
飞轮。
Ambuja。
莲花。
Shriya。
被什么装饰？
Disha。
所有方向。
Vitimira。
没有黑暗。
Aloka。
耀眼的光芒。
Kurvanta。
显示。
Svena。
以你们自己的。
Tejasa。
光辉。
Kimartam。
目的为何呢？
Dharmapalasya。
宗教原则的维护者。
Kinkarama。
仆人。
Na。
我们。
Nishedata。
你们正阻止。
Translation。The order carriers of Yamaraj said, "Your eyes are just like the lotus petals of your eyes are just like petals of the lotus flowers, dressed in yellow silken garments, decorated with garlands of lotuses, and wearing very attractive helmets on your heads and earrings. You appear fresh and youthful. Your four long arms are decorated with bows."And quivers of arrows, and with swords, clubs, conch shells, discs, and lotus flowers. Your effulgence has dissipated the darkness of this place with extraordinary illumination. Now, sirs, why are you obstructing us?
译文，阎罗王的命令执行官说，你们的眼睛恰似莲花花瓣，你们身穿黄色的丝绸衣，佩戴莲花花环。头戴引人注目的头盔，耳朵上戴着耳环，你们都显得风华正茂，朝气蓬勃。你们的四条长臂分别用弓箭、宝刀、大头棒、海螺、飞轮和莲花做装饰。你们放射出的耀眼光芒驱散了这个地方的黑暗。先生们，你们为何要阻止我们呢？So I continue with the purport.
Yes, please.
Okay. 要旨。我们甚至在向陌生人正式介绍自己之前，别人就已经可以通过我们的穿着、身体、真相和行为了解到我们的状态。因此，阎罗王的命令执行官第一次看到威士努的命令执行官时感到很惊讶。他们说，你们的身体特征显示你们是很崇高的绅士，你们拥有如此神性的力量，以至于你们身体放射出的光芒竟能驱散物质世界的黑暗。既然这样，你们为什么要试图阻止我们履行我们的职责呢？后面将解释到，阎罗王的命令执行官们误认为阿加米勒还是有罪的，他们不知道尽管他整个的一生都是罪恶的，但却因为呼喊 Narayana 的圣名而得到了净化。换句话说，只有外施纳瓦才能了解外施纳瓦的活动。这些诗文正确地描述了外昆塔星球居民的衣着和身体特征。戴着花环、穿着黄色丝绸衣衫的外昆塔居民都长着四臂，手持各种武器，因此他们显得与主威士努很相似。他们得到与至尊主有同样身体特征的解脱，因此身体特征与 Narayana 一样，但他们仍以仆人的身份行事。外昆塔星球的全体居民清楚地知道，他们的主人是 Narayana Krishna， 他们都是他的仆人，他们都是永恒解脱的、觉悟了的自我的灵魂。尽管他们可以宣布他们自己是 Narayana 或 Vishnu， 但他们却从不这样做。他们总是保持 Krishna 意识，忠心耿耿地侍奉至尊主。这是外昆塔星球的氛围。同样的道理，经由 Krishna 意识运动学习忠诚地为主 Krishna 服务的人，将永远留在外昆塔星球，与物质世界毫无关系。要旨结束。 End of the purport.
Okay, thank you. Om Aganata Mirandasha Gananjana Salakaya Chaksurun Militam Yena Tasmain Shri Gurave Namaha Namaha Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shri Makti Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha sunyavadi paschatya deshatarne Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Jai Rup Shri Sanatan Bhakta Raghunath Shri Jiva Gopala Bhakta Dasa Raghunath Shri Nishinga Jai Nishinga Jai Jai Nishinga Praladesha Jaya Padma Mukha Padma Bringam Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Panchakalpaturubhyascha Kripasindhubha Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So the Yamadutas, they're now seeing the Vishnu Dutas before them.
嗯，那么现在阎罗王的命令执行官们就看着维什努的命令执行官站在他们面前。
And now they're describing the bodily features of the Vishnu Dutas.
那么在这里，他们就开始描述了维什努的命令执行官的身体的特征。
Now we must remember that the Yamadutas have never seen the Vishnu Dutas before.
嗯，而我们必须要记住一点，就是在此之前，阎罗王的命令执行官从来都没有见到过维什努的命令执行官们。
And possibly they've never even heard of the Vishnu Dutas or read descriptions about them.
嗯，而且有可能的是，就是他们从来都没有听闻过，或者是亲眼见证过，就是维什努的命令执行官是什么样子的。
So we want to put ourselves in the shoes of the Yamadutas as we hear this description.
嗯，因此我们现在可以试着去想象一下，如果我们是这个阎罗王的命令执行官，然后见到维什努的命令执行官的时候，会是一种什么样的心情和感受？
Yeah, before they even heard, before they even saw the form of the Vishnu Dutas, they heard their very resounding voices telling them. To leave Ajamil alone.
所以说，甚至在这个阎罗王的命令执行官看到这个维什努的命令执行官的形体之前的话呢，他们都先听到的是一种很确切的、很大声的声音在告诉他们，就是让他们就是赶紧放下阿加米勒。
So even before they saw the form of the Vishnu Dutas, the Yamadutas were very impressed just to hear the voices.Of the Vishnu Dutas.
所以甚至是在他们去见到维什努的命令执行官之前，看到他们的形体之前，他们已经对于这些维什努的命令执行官所发出来的声音感到印象非常的深刻了。
And now they're actually seeing the form of the Vishnu Dutas face to face.
而现在他们确实是面对面的亲眼见证到了维什努的命令执行官。
And they're wondering, are you demigods? Are you from the heavenly planets? Are you sub-demigods?
Are you what? Demigods?
They're wondering.
Yeah.
I wonder if these are demigods or are they sub-demigods?
Sub-demigods. Oh, okay.
Sub means, you know, they're demigods, but they're not like in a high position.
OK. 好，所以说阎罗王的命令执行官们就在想。这些人是半神人吗？还是说他们是来自于这个天堂星球的？还是说他们是地位比较低的那些半神人
？And then they're also wondering that possibly they are from some location beyond the universe.
而且他们还在想，有没有可能就是这些人是来自于宇宙的某个这个角落，宇宙的某个地方呢？
Yeah, they asked last week, they thought, well, maybe they are Siddha Septima, which means perfected beings.
然后于是在上一个星期我们就讲到，他们当时就在问，是不是这些是已经很完美的人了，很完美的这些个体。
Right, like some being that's beyond this material dimension.
就像是一些已经超越了这个物质维度的个体人。
And now they're describing the bodily features. So basically this purport concentrates on two subjects.
而现在的话呢，他们这个章节篇章就开始去描述威士努的命令执行官的躯体特征，所以基本上这个要旨就是有两个主要点。
One is that externally it's very difficult to know who's a devotee unless you're a devotee yourself.
所以第一点的话呢，就是你很难在外在去判断一个人是不是奉献者，除非你本人就是奉献者，那么你就可以看得出来是不是对方是奉献者了。
And the other point is it's a literal description of what someone, you know, in the Vaikuntha planets looks like.
而第二点的话呢，就是具体的在文字上来描述这个外昆塔的居民他们的长相是什么样子的。
So this is very, very rare information. You don't find a description of the spiritual world and the inhabitants of the spiritual world inany other religious scripture.
所以说可以说这一块的话是非常珍贵的信息了，因为我们基本上在其他的宗教经典当中是看不到这种对于灵性世界或者是灵性世界的居民的描述的。
Although I'm sure like in the Buddhist scriptures they have some description of the pure land, which is basically most of the information is just borrowed from the Vedas.
当然的话我比较确定的是就是在一些佛教的经典当中是对净土是有描述的，但是它这一块的描述的话呢，大多数都是直接从韦达经当中借鉴来的。
Just like I know I haven't visited many temples, Buddhist temples in China, but I've been to many Buddhist temples in Japan.
我本人并没有就是太多的拜访中国的佛教的寺庙，但是在日本的话我却去看过很多这些佛教寺庙的。
And so in the Buddhists have a very similar understanding of the universe and the demigods.
而佛教徒的话呢，对于宇宙和半神人是有着非常相似的理解的。
Just like I've been to Buddhist temples in Japan that there's deities of Brahma.
然后比如说在日本的这个佛教的这个庙当中的话，他们是有那个主梵天的神像的。
Of course, they don't say Lord Brahma. They have a Buddhist name that's a little bit different.
当然他们不会说把它叫做梵天、主梵天了，他们是有另外一个名字来描述、来称呼他的。
And it's written in Sanskrit as well.
而且他的名字也是用梵文写出来的。
Or I've been to temples of Indra.
然后我还去过英爪的庙。
And of, even of Yamaraj in Nara, and the old capital of Japan, there's a big temple of Yamaraj there.
然后在那个日本原来的那个首都那儿，然后就都还有一个那个庙，那个庙就是属于去崇拜阎罗王的一个庙。
But of course, he's not called Yamaraj.He's called a Buddhist word called Enma Sama, which means the Lord of Death.
Enma Sama. 当然就是在这个庙当中的话呢，并没有把阎罗王称为叫 Yamaraj, 就是那个梵文的词，而是把它叫做 Enma Sama, 就是在梵文当中这个意思是就是死亡之神的意思。
Yeah, so in the Buddhist scriptures, you'll find some description of the heavenly planets and of the universe, and evenyou know, the spiritual dimension, but it's basically borrowed information from the Vedas.
因此的话呢，我们在佛教经典当中都可以看到类似的关于宇宙和灵性世界的描述，但实际上的话呢，这一块的内容基本上都是从韦达经当中借来的。
So the first point that's being made is that, because the Yamadutas are notpure devotees, they couldn't understand who's a pure devotee.
因此这个要旨当中提到的第一点就是由于阎罗王的命令执行官并不是纯粹的奉献者，因此他们也就没有办法去理解，没有办法去辨识出来谁是奉献者。
And the proof that they couldn't appreciate what is a pure devotee is becausethey don't know what a pure devotee is.
而这个证明就是证据，证明他们无法去欣赏或者是感恩一位这个纯粹的奉献者的话呢，就是因为他们自己都不知道谁是一位奉献者。
So they were looking at Ajamil, from the material point of view.
因此他们是用物质的眼光来看待阿加米勒的。
They were looking at Ajamil's past as a sinful person.
他们看到的是阿加米勒的过去，就是一个很罪恶的一个人。
But they couldn't appreciate his present condition as a pure devotee.
嗯，但他们却无法去理解，就是阿加米勒现在的这种状况，那就是一个纯粹的奉献者。
Because he had been continually chanting the holy name, he had become purified of his, all of his sinful reactions.
由于阿加米勒一直持续的去念诵圣名，所以说他都已经从就是净化了所有曾经从事过的罪恶活动。
And later on we'll see in the story that not only that, he's developed the consciousness of understanding, you know, that he was a sinful person, and he's giving up that mentality.
Mentality. 而接着的在这个故事后面展开的部分，然后就说到了，就是阿加米勒已经发展出来这样的一种知觉，就是他不仅理解到了，认识到了自己从罪恶活动当中进化了出来，并且的话呢，他也意识到自己是一个很罪恶满满的这样一个人，他就非常愿意去放弃放下这样的一种想要去作恶想要去从事罪恶活动的心态。
And of course, this is, you know, we go through different stages of chanting.
当然我们都知道，就是在念诵之中，我们会经历不同的阶段。
So there's the impure stage.
首先是这种不纯粹、不净化、不纯粹的这样一种念诵阶段。
Or you could say the offensive stage.
或者可以说是还在进行冒犯的念诵的阶段。
And then there's the purification stage.
然后就是这个净化的一个阶段。
And then there's the pure stage or the liberated stage.
接着的话呢，就是这个纯粹的阶段，然后或者是就是一个对纯粹的阶段。
And so the Amadutas, they couldn't appreciate that Ajamil had now become purified and therefore he wasn't punishable.
所以说阎罗王的命令执行官们就无法去理解现在这个阿加米勒已经是一个进化了的这样一个人类了，所以说they couldn't what's the second sentence?
They couldn't appreciate that Ajamil had become purified and was now a pure devotee.
所以他们无法去理解阿加米勒已经得到了进化，而现在他已经是一个纯粹的奉献者了。
They were just looking at his past, they didn't see his present condition.
他们只是看到阿加米勒的过去，却没有看到阿加米勒现在的状况。
And so Prabhupada mentions in the purport that actually only a Vaishnava can appreciate another Vaishnava. If you're not a Vaishnava, you can't really discern who's a Vaishnava and who's not.
所以说帕帕德在要旨当中就说到，就是只有外士纳瓦才能了解外士纳瓦的活动，才能辨识得出来对方是不是外士纳瓦，所以如果你不是一个奉献者的话，其实你是无法去看得出来对方是不是奉献者的。
I've mentioned this point before, but once Prabhupada was asked by a devotee, he said to Prabhupada, I wish someday I could become a pure devotee.
所以说我曾经在以前的课当中提到过，就是曾经有一个奉献者去问帕帕德，就说我希望有一天我能够成为一位纯粹的奉献者。
And Prabhupada's answer may surprise you.
而实际上帕帕德这个回答的话，甚至可能会让你感到很惊讶。
He said, wanting to be a pure devotee is as good as being a pure devotee.
Is as good as...Being a pure devotee.
Yes.
而帕帕德就回答到，就说你想要成为一位纯粹的奉献者，实际上跟你已经是作为成为了一位纯粹的奉献者是一样好的。
So he said, everyone begins, you know, devotion to Krishna in an immature state.
他说每个人都是以一种不成熟的状态开始对 Krishna 进行奉爱服务的。
And so he compared that to a green mango.
他把这个状态就比喻成是绿色的芒果。
And then when one becomes a fully purified devotee, he says that's a ripe mango.
而当一个人逐渐成长为一个纯粹就是完全成熟的一个完全被净化的奉献者的时候此时他就被比喻为是已经成熟的黄色的芒果了。
But he said whether one is a green mango or a ripe mango, they're both mangoes.
所以说帕帕就说无论一个人是还在处于初期的这种不成熟的阶段还像一颗绿色芒果那样还是说已经是一个成熟的奉献者就是一个纯粹的奉献者了但他们这两者的话呢都是奉献者都是芒果。
So Krishna, he says something similar in the chapter 9, verse 30 of Bhagavad Gita.
而 Krishna 在《薄伽梵歌》第九章的第三十诗节说过类似的话语。
Do you have a Bhagavad Gita handy?
I can find it on the internet.
Okay.
So they have the Chinese website of all the old translation version of Bhagavad Gita.
Really? Oh, that's fantastic. So the government doesn't prohibit that, huh?
They haven't found it, I guess.
So 9:30. Api chait saracharo bhajate mama nanyabak sadar eta Sadar eva samantavya samyag vyavasti tohisa. It's actually a very powerful statement by Krishna.
所以我们现在来看着这个《薄伽梵歌》第九章的三十诗节，所以这一段的梵文的话，可以说是非常强大的一段，就是 Krishna 所说的一段话。
It says, even if one commits the most abominable action, if he is engaged in devotional service, he is to be considered saintly.Because he is properly situated in his determination.
所以这一段的译文就是，即使一个人从事了最令人憎恶的活动，但是如果他能从事奉献服务的话，他仍然被认作是圣洁的，因为他已经做出了正确的抉择。
So, Krishna says actually that even if a devotee is imperfect, you have to look at him as a sadhu. He says, sadhu eva. You have to consider him a sadhu.
所以说 Krishna 就在这里说到，即便一位奉献者是不完美的，但是我们依然要把他认作是一位圣人 ，sadhu eva。
Yeah, sadhu eva mantava. Mantava means to consider. So you must consider him a sadhu. You have to look at that.
所以说这个第三句的这个梵文 sadhu eva samantavya, sadhu 圣人，然后 eva 就是肯定的意思 ，mantavya 的这个意思就是应该被认作是。因此的话 ，Krishna 就说我们应该把一位奉献者看作是圣人一样。
So, in other words, Krishna is saying, if you don't appreciate someone who's taken to bhakti as a sadhu, even if they're imperfect, then you're incorrect in your vision. You're mistaken. And actually, it's offensive.
Oh, offensive. 所以说 Krishna 就换句话说哈 ，Krishna 在这里想要表达的意思就是，如果我们认为一个从事了奉爱服务、走入奉爱瑜伽这条路的一个人，并不是一位沙度，然后认为他是一个怎么说来着呢？不完美啊，然后一个不够成熟的这样一个人，那么实际上这说明我们的这个眼光是有问题的，是错误的，是不正确的，这反而是对奉献者的一种冒犯。
And so the Yamadutas they didn't understand the power of the holy name or what it means to be a Vaishnava.
因此阎罗王的命令执行官就并不能去理解圣名的力量，也不能去理解一个奉献者是什么样子的。
They didn't consider that Ajamil was chanting the holy name. They just saw he was a sinful person.
他们并没有考虑到阿加米勒曾经念诵过圣名，他们只是看到就是认为阿加米勒是一个很罪恶的一个人。
Yeah, so this is very difficult to understand unless one is a Vaishnava.
而这一点实际上是很难去理解的，除非是一位 Vaishnava， 然后才能去理解这一点。
So unless one is a Vaishnava, they can't appreciate how rare and how special it is to be devoted to God.
所以说除非是一位奉献者，否则他是很难去理解就是成为神的，成为主的一位奉献者的话呢，从事奉爱服务是多么稀有，多么特别的一件事儿。
Lord Chaitanya was once asked, how do we know who's a Vaishnava?
曾经就有人问过主柴塔尼亚一个问题，就是我们怎么样才知道一个人是外士纳瓦呢？
And his answer was, one who has chanted the holy name even once.
而主柴塔尼亚就回答到，就是即便是曾经念诵过只有一次圣名的，都算是外士纳瓦。
He not only said that, he also continued to say that such a person is free from all sinful reactions.
Free from all sinful. 而不仅主柴塔尼亚是这样说，然后他接着也还在说，就是并且的话呢，这样的一个人也是从所有的罪恶活动当中解脱了出来。
Not only that, he said that they are the topmost human being.
不仅如此，只是念诵过一次圣名的人都算是最为杰出、最为优秀的人类。
Not only that, he said they are worshipable.
不仅如此，他们都是值得人们崇拜的。
Yeah, so unless we can appreciate the power of the holy name, we cannot really appreciate those who are chanting the holy name.
Those who are chanting. 所以说除非我们能够去认识到，除非我们能够去认识到这个圣名的力量，否则我们是很难去欣赏，去理解，就是去念诵圣名的那些人。
So in the beginning of chanting, one may be chanting offensively.
因此在念诵的初期阶段，一个人肯定是带着冒犯的去念诵的。
But then it begins to become purified.
然后的话呢，他就开始接受净化了。
Which means one becomes freed of identification with the conditioned mind and body.
而这就意味着这个念诵的人已经开始从对物质躯体和物质心意的认同当中逐渐解脱出来。
And so what is the symptom of a conditioned soul?
那么一个受到物质条件制约的灵魂，它的症状是什么样子的呢？
It's explained that the conditioned soul is always lost in the mind.
这经典当中就解释到，一个受物质条件制约的人总是迷失在心意之中。
And identifying everything as I or mine.
然后把所有的一切都认同为是我或者是我的。
And so the symptom of material consciousness is to be lost in the thinking about the past and lamenting the past.
Sorry, Guru. Lamenting about the past and
being in anxiety, being unhappy because of lamenting about the past.
OK, 所以说的话呢，拥有物质知觉、物质意识的一个人的症状，就是他总是迷失在这个心理之中，总是去悲伤着过去。
And then being dissatisfied with the present and hankering for things in the future.
然后的话呢，对于现状是感到非常不满意的，于是他就会总是去期望在未来能够得到什么。
And so, you know, most devotees, they begin chanting in this state.
可以说绝大多数的奉献者都是以这样的一个状态然后开始念诵的。
And so, But as we become purified by the chanting,
不过随着我们逐渐被圣灵所净化，
our identification with the imaginary self that exists in the mind decreases.
而我们对于在心意当中存在的这个想象出来的自我的认同就逐渐减少了。
And so we gradually are lamenting about the past becomes decreased.
然后渐渐的我们对于过去的这种悲伤的话呢也就逐渐减少了。
And hankering for happiness in the future also decreases.
然后在未来渴望得到快乐幸福的这种心态也逐渐减少了。
And our feelings of happiness and satisfaction in the present increases.
然后我们在当下现在这个对于自己的生活的这种快乐和平静感也就相应的增加了。
So that's the second stage of chanting.
所以说这个就是念诵的第二个阶段。
And then eventually, the devotee reaches a state of always being joyful.
Always being joyful. 然后最终的话呢，奉献者就通过念诵达到了这种总是感到很喜悦、很欢愉的这种状态。
Yeah, Prabhupada says one enjoys life with a thrill.
Enjoys life with thrill.
Yeah, with a thrill. Thrill to be alive.
所以说帕帕德就把这个阶段形容为就是一个人就是总是带着这种很兴奋、很开心的这种状态来享受生活。
And then he also has respect for all others. Sees everyone equally as precious parts of God.
然后并且这样的一个人的话呢就是尊重所有的生物体他能够看到所有的这些生物体的话呢都是神的同样珍贵的一部分。
Yeah, so all of this is the result of chanting the holy name of the Lord.
而所有这一切都是念诵主的圣名所带来的结果。
So the Yamadutas, they didn't know this.
所以阎罗王的命令执行官并不知道这些。
So they didn't consider that Ajahmila was chanting the holy name of the Lord.
他们并没有考虑到就是阿迦弥勒曾经念诵过主的圣名。
Right, they didn't see that part.
他们没有看到这一块。
They just saw, oh, he's a sinful man. He lives his whole life sinfully.
而他们只是看到就是阿迦弥勒整个这一生都是过着非常这种罪恶满满的这种活动的。
Yeah, so it's not always easy to detect the Vaishnava.
因此就是要去辨识的出来一个人是不是奉献者是不是外施那瓦的话呢是比较难的
sometimes,
没那么容易的。
Sometimes they're grave and silent, you know, and they're very humble and they don't show off.
有些时候的话呢奉献者是非常谦卑的他们是不愿意去炫耀
sometimes they even appear materialistic.
甚至有些时候他们给人的感觉是非常物质的。
Right, I think most of you heard the story of Pundarik Vidyaniti. You haven't heard that story? Pundarik Vidyaniti? He was a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya.
Oh, no, haven't heard it. 所以说Guru 就说就是你们中可能绝大多数都听过这个故事就是主 Chaitanya 的一位伟大的奉献者他的名字叫 Pundarik
Vidyaniti.
Vidyaniti.
So this story is in the Chaitanya Charitamrita.
所以说这个故事就是在永恒的主柴坦尼亚经里面有描述的。
So, another great devotee of the Lord was named Mukunda Datta.
Mukunda Datta. And then,
Mukunda Datta.
Mukunda Datta. 然后另一个伟大的奉献者的名字呢是叫 Mukunda Datta.
He was a famous kirtan leader.
他是一位非常出名的 kirtan 的这个领唱者。
And he knew Lord Chaitanya his whole life. I mean, even he was older than Lord Chaitanya, so that He knew him, you know, when he was a householder in Mayapur and also as a sannyasi in Jagannath Puri.
哦，而这位 Mukunda Datta， 然后他整个一生都认识主 Chaitanya， 然后他的年龄比主 Chaitanya 要稍微年长一些，所以在他还是在那个玛雅普是一个居士的时候，他就已经认识这个主 Chaitanya 了，而后他在加格纳普瑞就成为了一位这个托钵僧。
So he happened to be in Jagannath Puri at the time.
然后他刚好就是在那段时间是在加格纳普瑞。
And Gadadhar Pandit was also there.
而 Gadadhar Pandit 也是在那个地方。
And so one day Mukunda Datta, he said to Jagannath, to Gadadhar Pandit, would you like to see a pure devotee of the Lord?
所以有一天 Mukunda Datta 就对 Gadadhar Pandit 说，你愿不愿意去见到一位纯粹的奉献者呢？
I'd like to introduce you to this wonderful devotee.
我想把你介绍认识这位非常棒非常好的奉献者。
So Gadadhar Pandit, he got very excited. Oh my gosh, I'm going to meet a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya.
然后于是 Gadadhar Pandit 就感到非常的兴奋激动，就想到，哎，我能够去见到主 Chaitanya 的这样一位伟大的奉献者。
You can imagine his expectation, right?
大家可以想象一下他的那个期望会有多么的高。
And so, they went to this palace.
This what?
They went to a big palace, like a big rich man's house.
Palace. Oh, got it. 于是的话呢，他们两个就走到了一个像皇宫一样的一个地方，就是一个非常富有的人的家里。
And they went upstairs into one of the bedrooms.
然后他们就走上楼，走到其中的一间卧室。
And the whole house was very opulently decorated.
然后整栋房子就是非常这个富豪的装修的非常的漂亮。
So they entered the bedroom of Pundarik Vijayaniti.
Pundarik Vijayaniti. 于是他们就进入到了这个 Pundarik Vijayaniti 的这个房间。
Yeah, and he was sitting on a big soft bed.
然后他就坐在一张非常大的很软的床上。
And the whole room was very opulently decorated with paintings and jewels and marble and gold.
然后当时就是他住的这个整栋房子的话呢，就是装修的非常的豪华，就是又有画呀，然后珠宝啊，大理石啊，然后等等的，能想象的全部都是装修的那种样子。
And Pundarik Vijayaniti, he was wearing very expensive clothes.
而 Pundarik Vijayaniti 他身穿非常昂贵的衣服。
He's wearing jewelry.
然后他还戴着非常昂贵的珠宝。
And his hair is decorated long and beautiful.
然后他的头发就是被装饰的是非常漂亮的那个样子。
And I think he was even smoking a pipe.
然后我想他甚至可能在当时都是还在抽着烟。
And you can just imagine how Gadadhar Pandit felt. He was a little bit doubtful.
所以说大家可以想象一下，就是Gadadhar Pandit 当他看到这个 Pundarik Vijayaniti 的时候，他是一个什么样的一种想法？就是肯定会心存一丝疑惑，对吧？
I'm sure he was expecting to see a very renounced person.
我很确定，就是当时他本来是期望能够见到一位非常气绝的一个人的样子，一个奉献者的样子。
And Mukunda Datta, he understood the mind of Gadadhar Pandit.
而在场的 Mukunda Datta, 他是很理解就是当时 Gadadhar Pandit 心里面的想法的。
He knew that Gadadhar Pandit was thinking, this isn't a pure devotee, this is some materialisticperson.
然后他就知道肯定当时 Gadadhar Pandit 就在想，这绝对不是一个纯粹的奉献者，这肯定是一个什么物质主义者什么样子的。
This is a person who is lost in the bodily concept of life, a completely conditioned soul.
就肯定是一个完全迷失在躯体层面的这样一种知觉状态的人，完全就是去追求这些物质上的享乐去了。
And then Mukunda Datta, he spoke a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam.
然后 Mukunda Datta 就讲到了这个圣典博迦瓦坛上的一个诗节。
Yeah, it's quite a famous verse.
实际上这是一个非常出名的一个诗节。
It's the same verse that was used to attract the attention of Sukadev Goswami when he was running away from home.
这个诗节的话呢，就是曾经用来去吸引 Sukadev Goswami 的，就是在当时他在逃避，就是 running away from home， 他就是在逃离自己家园的时候，然后去吸引他的这样一个诗节。
Yes, it's actually from it's from the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. It's spoken by Devahuti to her son Kapila.
Devahuti. 所以说这个诗节是《博迦瓦坛》第三篇当中 Devahuti 对他的儿子what's the son's name?
Kapila Dev. Who's an incarnation of Krishna.
所以就是 Devahuti 对他的儿子 Kapila Dev， 而 Kapila Dev 就是主 Krishna 的一个化身。
So she said to Kapila Dev, Patasva Pachato Gariyan Yajjiva Gre Vartate Namatubhyam Tupustapaste Juhu Shashna Ayar Ramanuchar Nama Grinanti Yete.Actually, you might actually have this translated in Chinese, right?
I have the Bhagavatam on the internet.
Okay, it's third canto, text 30, I'm sorry, chapter 33, text 7. So, 3:33:7.
Okay. 3:31 or 33?
3:33:7.
Okay.37, 好，第三篇第33章第七诗节，大家可以看到这个。OK, got it.
Yeah, so it's the word aho means like you say it when you're really surprised, like oh my god, you know.
Okay, 所以说这个诗节3:33:7第一个这个梵文词 aho 这个词的意思就是当你看到什么很吃惊很震惊的时候，哇，就有那个发出的这样一个赞叹词。
How glorious are those? Yeah, how glorious are those whose tongues are chanting your holy name, even if born in the family of dog eaters, such persons. Oh, I got the wrong one. That's a different aho. Wait one sec, I gotta find it.
Okay.跟我说他可能看错了诗节，不是这个诗节。他现在在找那个他本来想谈到的那个诗节的。
There's a couple of verses, the famous verses that begin with aho.
因为有好几个这个很出名的诗节都是用 aho 这个词来开头的，所以他就看错了。
Wait a second. Well, Aho Bakishta, that's it. 206. Aho Bakiyam, Shtana Kala Kukam. Okay, so it's 3:23.
3:23, huh?
Yeah. And this is actually, it's spoken by Uddhava to Vidura.
Hold on. 3:2, 大家现在看的是第三篇的第二章的第23诗节。
This is after the departure of Lord Krishna, Vidura and Uddhava met by providence.
Sorry, Guru Maharaj, this 3:2:23, right?
Yeah, 3:2:23.
所以说第三篇第二章的第23诗节。
Yeah, and so Vidura had asked Uddhava, you know, Have you seen Krishna? And he went into ecstasy.
Who went into ecstasy?
Vidava did.
所以说 Vidura 就问了这个 Vidava Dev 一个问题，就是Have you seen Krishna? Right? He asked.
Yeah.
他就问 Vidava， 就是你是不是已经见到了主 Krishna？
And then Vidava spoke this verse to Vidura.
然后 Vidava 就对 Vidura 说了这个诗节。
Aho bhakiyam sthana kalakutam jighamsaya padaya apisadvi labegatim datru chitam tato nyam kamvadalam dayulam saranam brijema. He said, alas, means aho, oh my God, how shall I take shelter of one more merciful than he who granted the position of mother to a she-demon Putana, although she was unfaithful and she prepared deadly poison to be sucked from her breast.
所以说这个诗节的译文就是，尽管这个 Putana 女魔头对她非常的不忠，在自己的乳房上涂抹致命的毒药，准备在她吸奶时毒死她，但她却赐予那恶魔母亲的地位。哎，除了托庇于她这么仁慈的人，我还能托庇于谁呢？
So Uddhava here, he's recollecting, you know, Krishna and how merciful he is, even to somebody like Putana.
因此在这里 Uddhava 就说到，就是对，即便对于像 Putana 这样的一个人的话呢，然后主 Krishna 都是多么的仁慈。
Yeah, so when Sukadeva Goswami, you know, ran away from home, Vyasadeva had some people call out this verse, and when Sukadeva Goswami heard this verse, he became attracted to Krishna, and he came back home and heard the Bhagavatam from Vyasadeva.
因此的话呢，就是这个诗节，就是当Sukadeva Goswami 就是逃离自己的家的时候，然后 Vyasadeva 就叫了一些人，然后去大声的去唱，就是大声的喊出来，大声的念出来这个诗节，然后以此来吸引 Sukadeva Goswami 的注意力。而当 Sukadeva Goswami 听到这个诗节的时候，他就回到了自己的家，然后从 Vyasadeva 那里去听闻盛典薄伽瓦坛。
So, back to our story.
那么现在我们回过头来继续看到我们今天讲的这个故事。
Mukunda Datta and Gadadhar Pandit, they're looking at Pundarik Vidyaniti.
于是 Mukunda Datta 和这个Gadadhar Pandit 就他们两个就看着这个 Pundarik Vidyaniti.
And Gadadhar Pandit is thinking in his mind,Mukunda Datta, why have you brought me in the presence of this materialistic person? What's wrong with you?
然后 Gadadhar Pandit 就心里面就想着，这个 Mukunda Datta， 你为什么要把我带来去见这样的一个物质主义者呢？你怎么回事呢？
And of course, Mukunda Datta, he understood the mind of Gadadhar Pandit.
当然 Mukunda Datta 他心里面很清楚，就是 Gadadhar Pandit 是怎么想的。
So then he sang the same verse from Srimad Bhagavatam about how merciful Krishna was to Putana.
然后的话呢 ，Mukunda Datta 就念诵了这个刚才顾如讲到的这个第三篇里面的这个诗节，就是关于主 Krishna 对于女魔 Putana 是多么的仁慈的这个诗节。
And when Pundarik Vidyaniti heard this verse about Krishna from Srimad Bhagavatam.He went into an ecstasy.
而当这个 Pundarik Vidyaniti 当他听闻到就是这个 Mukunda Datta 所念出来的薄伽瓦坛的诗节的时候，然后他就陷入到了狂喜的状态。
At first he became unconscious in ecstasy.
然后首先他就是在这种狂喜之中就失去知觉了。
And then he awoke in a maddened state and he tore apart his room looking for Krishna.
然后接着就是当他从这个知觉不醒的这种人事不醒的这种状态当中，当他苏醒过来的时候，就处于一种非常疯狂的状态，就把自己整个这个卧室里面所有的东西全部拿来给推，就是弄翻，就是想要去找到 Krishna.
Of course, when Gadadhar Pandit saw the ecstasy that Pundarik Vidyaniti was in, then he understood his mistake.
哦，因此当 Gadadhar Pandit 看到这个 Pundarik Vidyaniti 去听闻这个博加瓦坦的师节以后，就陷入到一种狂喜的状态的时候，然后 Gadadhar Pandit 就明白，原来他错把这样一位伟大的奉献者错认为是一位物质主义者了。
And he understood, oh my gosh, Pundarik Vidyaniti, he's a pure devotee, he's a great devotee of the Lord.
嗯，然后这个 Gadadhar Pandit 就想，我的天哪，原来 Pundarik Vidyaniti 是一位纯粹的奉献者，是主，一位伟大的奉献者呢。
And so he was very regretful that he looked at him and externally and didn't consider anything else.
嗯，然后于是 Gadadhar Pandit 就非常的后悔，然后他觉得自己就完全是从外在的这个用外在的眼光去看待这个 Pundarik Vidyaniti 的，却没有去考虑到其他的这些方面。
And so he felt that he had made a great offense.
于是他觉得自己犯下了如此巨大的一个冒犯。
That he was, you know, he had disrespected a great Vaishnava.
他竟然就是这样去没有尊敬一位伟大的 Vaishnava.
And so he wondered, you know, to himself, how can I atone for this offense?
于是他心里面就在想，我怎么样才能为这样一次重大的冒犯而赎罪呢？
And then he thought, the only way I can atone for this offense is to take complete shelter of Pundarik as my guru and take initiation from him.
然后于是他想到，就是我唯一能够去为这样一次冒犯而做出赎罪的方式，那就是去得到 Pundarik Vidyaniti 的完全的脱皮，去让他成为我的 guru， 去成为他的门徒。
So then Gadadhar Pandit he consulted with Lord Chaitanya.
于是 Gadadhar Pandit 就去询问了主差坦娘。
He said, I made this great offense against the Vaishnava Pundarik Vidyaniti, and I thought that he was a materialistic person, but now I see he's a pure devotee of the Lord.
于是 Gadadhar Pandit 就对主差坦娘说，就是我犯下了如此重大的一次冒犯，巨大的一次冒犯，我曾以为 Pundarik Vidyaniti 是一个物质主义者，结果现在我才看到，原来他是主的纯粹的奉献者。
And I think that I should atone for this offense by taking initiation from Pundarik Vidyaniti. What do you think, Lord Chaitanya?
然后于是他就对主差坦娘说，我应该就是为这样一次冒犯去进行赎罪，我就想能够去得到这个 Pundarik Vidyaniti 的这个启迪。主差坦娘你怎么想呢？
And Lord Chaitanya agreed.
然后主差坦娘就同意了他的这个想法。
So, Gadadhar Pandit is initiated by Pundarik Vidyaniti.
于是 Gadadhar Pandit 就得到了Pundarik Vidyaniti 的启迪了。
So this is just demonstrating more, you know, furthermore how it's not always easy to recognize a Vaishnava, and only another Vaishnava can appreciate a Vaishnava.
所以说我在这里讲到的这个故事的话呢，是进一步的再给大家展示出来，就是要识辨出一位奉献者，一位Vaishnava，其实并不是那么容易的一件事儿。就除非是一位奉献者，然后才能够辨识得出来对方是不是奉献者。
And so the other point of today's purport is that we're having a description here in the Bhagavatam of what people look like in Vaikuntha.
而今天我们在要旨里面谈到的第二点，就是描述了在外昆塔星球的居民，他们的这个身体的特征是什么样子的。
And so it's mentioned here that the Vishnudutas, they are liberated souls, eternally liberated souls with theliberation of Swarupya Mukti.
Swarupya.
It means they have the same bodily features as the Lord.
哦，嗯，而所以说在这里描述到的维昆，这个主维士努的命令执行官们，他们是永恒的解脱的灵魂，然后他们是跟主维士努有着同样身体特征的解脱的灵魂。
Right, so they had lotus eyes and black hair.
哦，于是他们都有着莲花眼，有着这个黑色的头发。
Beautiful earrings and helmets.
嗯，有着非常漂亮的耳环和头盔。
They appeared as fresh youths, you know, they don't get old, they have young, youthful bodies.
嗯，然后他们看上去非常的年轻，就是有着这种风华正茂、朝气蓬勃的这个样子。
They had four long arms, very beautifully decorated.
嗯，然后他们都有着四条非常纤长的这个手臂，然后都得就有这种漂亮的装饰。
So Lord Vishnu, he has a club, a conch shell, a disc, and a lotus flower.
嗯，所以说主维士努的话呢，有这个大头棒，有这个海螺，还有这个飞轮和这个莲花。
But the Vishnu deities, they also had other weapons. They had arrows and bows and a sword.
嗯，而主维士努的这个命令执行官的话呢，他们还手上拿的有这些。武器就比如说是弓箭和这个宝刀、嗯、
And so the residents of Vaikuntha they look exactly like Lord Vishnu、
嗯、因此外昆塔的这个星球上的居民他们看他们的样子是完全就是主 Vishnu 的那个样子、
Even though they look like Lord Vishnu and they have the power really of Lord Vishnu they never think that they're Lord Vishnu. They always consider themselves servants.
哦，然后所以说，即便就是外昆塔星球的居民，他们看上去长得很像主维士努，并且他们也拥有主维士努的这个力量，但是他们却从来不认为自己是主维士努，然后他们从来都认为自己是主维士努的仆人。
And so Prabhupada, he mentioned something very interesting. He says that.It's conceivable that the Vishnu Dutas could even announce themselves as good as Narayan or as Vishnu.
Oh, Guru, could you repeat?
He says they could conceivably declare themselves、mm. as Narayan or Vishnu. They could say, I'm Narayan, I'm Vishnu.
Oh, and?
Because they're simultaneously one and different than Narayan.Right,、oh. they're indestructible. They can do whatever they want.、
Mm.
You know, it's possible that a Vaikuntha person could say, "Yes, you know, I am Narayan."
oh,
but they don't.
But they don't. Okay. Oh, got it. 所以说，帕帕德就在这里提到了非常有趣的一点。就说嗯，像这些外昆塔星球的居民的话哈，他们甚至都可以去宣称，就是我就是 Narayana， 我就是 Vishnu， 因为实际上他们就是跟 Narayana 和主 Vishnu 的话呢是即一即一，就他们有同样的这种力量，能够去做任何他们想做的事情，或者是甚至去毁灭任何他们想毁灭的事情东西都是可以的。但是的话呢，这些居民他们却并没有这样去做。
Yeah, Prabhupada says this is the atmosphere in Vaikuntha.
嗯，帕帕就说这个就是维昆塔的氛围气氛。
Right, there's no anxiety.
嗯，在那个地方是没有这种焦虑的。
Yeah, nobody in Vaikuntha is depressed or has an inferiority complex.
然后在维昆塔的居民们就没有任何一个是抑郁了的，然后郁闷了的，或者是没有任何一个是很自卑的。
Everybody knows I'm eternal, I'm indestructible.
嗯，每个人都知道我是永恒的，我是不可被毁灭的。
In quality, we're all equally good.
嗯，在质量上来看，我们都是同等的好，我们都是同样的。
Yet, they serve Lord Vishnu in awe and reverence.
嗯，然而的话呢，他们都是带着这个敬畏之心来服务主 Vishnu 的。
Yeah, so they're supremely confident, but at the same time, they're humble servants.
嗯，因此这些外昆塔的居民，他们就是这个在非常有着至尊的这种信心、自信，但是同时的话呢，他们也认为自己是主维士努的仆人。
Yeah, so we have a little description here of Vaikuntha consciousness.
因此在这里我们有一点这个描述谈到了这个描述了外昆塔星球居民的知觉。
Because everyone looks the same.
因为每个人长相都是一样的。
They look just like Lord Vishnu.
他们看上去都长得像主 Vishnu.
There's only one feature that Lord Vishnu has that others don't.
所以说只有一个特征是主 Vishnu 是有的，而其他的这些居民他们是没有的。
Yeah, Lord Vishnu has a little tuft of hair on his chest that represents Lakshmi.
On his chest there's some hair that represents Lakshmi.
Yeah, it's a little white hair.
A little white hair. Okay, got it. 然后而这一个特征的话呢，就是区别主 Vishnu 和其他这些外昆塔居民的这个体态特征的话呢，就是在主 Vishnu 的胸口上有一根白色的这个头发，白色的这个头发，对，然后就是它是实际上是象征的是 Lakshmi 女神 Lakshmi 的。
Yeah, so not only Lord Vishnu has that tuft of hair, nobody else does.
所以说只有主 Vishnu 才有这一根毛发，然后而其他人都是没有的。
So that's a description of the Vishnu Duttas and generally of what people, the devotees look like in Vaikuntha.
因此在这一个段落当中谈到描述的就是外昆塔星球的居民的样子。
Yeah, so they have no fear of death, they're extremely confident, yet they're humble servants of the Lord.
因此他们对于死亡没有任何的恐惧，然后他们有着至尊的这种信心，至尊的这种自信，但同时的话他们又是主的谦卑的仆人。
And they also understand that Ajamil is no longer sinful, that he has now been purified by the power of the holy name, and he doesn't deserve, to be punished in hell.
并且的话呢，这些外昆塔的居民也能，这些就是主 Vishnu 的命令官也理解到一点，那就是阿加米勒已经不再被认为是一个罪行满满、罪恶做了很多罪恶活动的人，他实际上已经通过念诵得到了净化，所以说因此他不应该去往地狱。
So that's where we are in the story now.
而这一块就是我们现在所讲到的进行到的这个关于阿加米勒的这个故事的这一步。
Yeah, now the Yamadutas can see the Vishnu Duttas and see that they're very special individuals that are not normal.
然后现在阎罗王的命令执行官就看到这个主 Vishnu 的命令执行官们是非常特别的、非常特殊的这些人。
But they're still confused. They don't know why they have been prevented.From, you know, taking Ajamil to hell.
但是阎罗王的命令执行官依然感到非常的困惑，就是他们不明白为什么自己会被阻止，就是不能带着阿加米勒去往地狱。
And so now they're going to have a discussion, really on this point.
那么现在他们就要开始进行一次讨论了。
Okay, I'll finish talking now. If there's any questions...We can answer them, otherwise we'll end the class.
好，那么现在的话呢，我就讲课的内容在这里停止，然后如果大家有问题的话呢，就可以提出来，然后如果没有问题的话，我们今天就可以讲到这儿。There are some questions. okay, Guruji, I think there are like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 questions.
Oh my gosh.
OK, 好，我们来看第一个问题啊，这个是一个叫热爱生命的一个奉献者说的，顶拜咕噜，这个月遵守了普鲁守月，没吃五谷，昨天是艾卡达西，今天还要破戒吗？感恩 Hare Krishna. So this devotee is asking that in this month I have observed Purushottama. So I didn't eat any grains, but yesterday was Ekadashi, so today I still need to break the fasting.
Oh, well, you made this vow not to eat any grains for the month of Purushottama?
Seems like it looks like that. So,
yeah, I see.
OK, 所以说看起来好像就是你发下了这个誓言，决定遵守这个普鲁守月，然后没有吃五谷。
Yeah, well, I think, you know, you can honor both, you know, you can take one grain or something like that of rice to honor Ekadasi, and at the same time, you know, maintain your vow.
Oh, so you're saying that he can take the grain to honor the Ekadasi.
Yes.
所以如果就说的话呢，你可以就是去在今天吃一点这个五谷，然后来这个就是荣耀爱卡达西，但同时的话呢，你也可以去遵守自己对普鲁守月所发下的这个誓言，就是不吃五谷的誓言。
Yeah, they're both, you know, both vows are, you know, honoring Krishna.
这两个誓言的话呢，都是在荣耀 Krishna。
So let him decide.
所以说you mean that this devotee decide, right?
No, let Krishna decide.
所以就让 Krishna 来决定吧。
Yeah, so continue with your vow, but at the same time, you know, finish your vow of Ekadasi by taking one grain.
Taking one grain, huh?
Yeah, like one little grain of rice or something.
Okay, 所以说你可以继续的就是去遵守你的这些誓言，然后去通过吃一粒一颗这个一个饭粒的一颗饭粒，然后来荣耀这个爱卡拉西，对，吃一粒就可以了。
Yeah, because you know the whole purpose of vows is to please the Lord.
因为我们要知道一点，就是我们发下一个誓言的目的是为了去取悦主。
So just the fact that you are honoring the month of Purushottama.
所以说这个事实就是你在去荣耀 Purushottama.
Is very good.
这挺好的。
The Padma Purana says that an intelligent man who practices devotional service towards the Supreme Lord in the month of Purushottama will enjoy a blissful life in this world, and after leaving his body, he will return back home, back to Godhead.
Okay. 所以说在这个 Padma Purana 莲花往事书当中就写记载到，一个聪明的人为主进行公爱服务的话，那么在这个 Purushottama 去遵守这样一个誓言，那么在今生的话呢，他就能够拥有充满极乐的一生，充满快乐的一生，并且在来世的话呢，他也能够回归守神。
And so, you know, that's a general statement. So, you know, we can demonstrate, you know, our devotion to the Lord or our appreciation for the months of Purushottama by increasing our devotional service.
By increasing our devotional service.
Yeah.
So, Guru, so you are saying that it's a general statement that we can demonstrate the devotion to the Lord and
this month of Purushottama by just increasing, you know, our devotional activities.
Oh, okay. 所以说就是在这一个普鲁守月的话，那么如果我们能够对主展示出对主的这种奉爱，然后通过去增加我们的奉爱服务的话呢，来展示出来我们对主的奉爱之情。
Yeah, so the Padma Purana is just saying, if you just happen to practice devotional service during this month only, you'll enjoy a blissful life and return home back to Godhead.
所以说 Padma Purana 这个莲花往事书就说到，如果你在普鲁守月能够去进行奉爱服务的话，那么在今生你就能够获得幸福快乐极乐的一生，并且在来世的话呢，你能回归守神。
Right, I mean, so there are some people, that's the only time they practice, you know, chanting the holy names or doing devotional activities is during the month of Purushottama, but we're, you know, every day is the, you know, the month of Purushottama for us, in a sense.
所以说就是有些人的话呢只会选择在普鲁守月的时候去进行风来服务去念诵等等，但是对于我们来说的话呢每一天都是普鲁守月，每天我们都进行风来服务。
Yeah, it's a, you know, just like Prabhupada said at the end of today's purport.
就像帕帕的在今天我们所谈到的要旨的最后说到。
Yeah, he said that one who's faithfully servingThe Lord, as we're trained to in the Krishna consciousness movement, will always remain in Vaikuntha, not in this material world.
所以说在这个要旨的最后一句话，然后帕帕的就写到，经由 Krishna 知觉运动学习忠诚的为主 Krishna 服务的人，将永远留在外昆塔星球，与物质世界毫无关系。
Yeah, so I don't see a conflict, you know, between your vow to, you know, not eat grains during the month of Purushottama, and then you're also observing Ekadasi, if you just, you know, break the fast by one grain, I don't think it really will, destroy your vow for the month of Purushottama, not to eat grains.
Okay, 所以说我并不认为就是你在这个遵守Purushottama的这样一个没吃五谷的这个誓言，和以及去通过吃一颗米粒一颗这个谷物的话呢来遵守来荣耀爱卡达西，这二者之间有任何的冲突，就是如果你吃了一颗谷粒来遵守这个爱卡达西的话呢是并不会破坏你的这样一个要去遵守 Purushottama 不吃五谷的这个誓言的。
Yeah, it won't destroy the spirit of your vow.
这并不会去破坏你想要去遵守自己诺言的这样一个精神，这样一种状态。
Okay.
OK, 好，这个问题就回答我结束。第二个问题，顶拜侮辱，我们每周去公园唱诵，有很多从我们身边路过的人听到圣名，这是否对他们有净化作用？ So this person is asking that.Every week we do kirtan in the public park, and many people who walk past us would hear the holy name. Would this actually have purification on them?
Yeah, Haridas Thakur says that even the plants and the bugs, you know, whoever hears the vibration of the name becomes purified and.Gets what's called a gyata sukriti, unknowingly, they're getting the opportunity for bhakti and faith in the Lord.
Unknowingly, they get the faith for bhakti.
Yeah.
所以说 Haridas Thakur 就曾经说过，即便是在我们念诵的时候，就是在我们面前的那些植物啊或者是虫子啊，然后当他们也是能够听到这个圣名的震动的时候，他们也就得到了这个 Agyata Sukriti, 就是这种自己都在不知晓的情况下就逐渐培养出了对圣名的信心。
Anything else?
OK, that's it.
Yeah, that's it.
OK, 好。OK, 好，这个顾惹这个问题就回答完了。我们来看下面一个问题。OK, 是达拉盖里马达吉问的。感谢顾惹，请问一个修习当下知觉的人，特别是在当下练习唱诵圣名的人，还有没有可能变得抑郁呢？那些罹患抑郁症的人是受物质的能量的影响吗？这和灵性有任何关系吗？感恩您。So, 达拉盖里马达吉 is asking that, As for a person who practices being in the presence, you know, bring their consciousness to the present moment, especially trying to be present with chanting the holy name, is it still possible that such a person would suffer from depression? And are those people who actually suffering from depression, they are getting the impact, the influence from the material energy?So does this have anything to do with spiritual? Does this have anything to do with spirituality?
Well, when we bring our attention to the present moment,
当我们就是把注意力放到当下的这一刻的时候。
Especially when we're intending to be present for Krishna in the form of his name.
特别是当我们想要就是带着这样一种企图，这种目的，就是想要和 Krishna 的圣名一起临在的时候。
Yeah, that very act of wanting to be present for Krishna, that is pure bhakti.
而这样的一种想法，一种举动的话，就是我们想要跟 Krishna 的圣名一起临在的这样一种做法，就是纯粹的 bhakti.
Right, we're wanting to be with the Lord.
因为这表明我们是想要跟主在一起的。
However, because of our past material tendencies and impressions, because of ignorance,
然而由于我们在过去就是这个由于无知愚昧的话呢，所拥有的这些物质的倾向和物质的这种印象，
yeah, we're still affected by all the impressions in our mind.
我们依然就是受着心意当中的这些印象，这些图像的影响。
And all of our conditioned thoughts and beliefs and tendencies.
我们依然就是这个心意当中会出现这些受物质条件影响的念头，倾向。
So depression is a result of suppressed previous pain.
Suppressed previous pain. 所以说可以说抑郁的话呢，实际上是在suppressed previous pain 是我们在前世，就是在以前所压抑了的这些疼痛痛苦所带来的结果。
Right, so in the past different painful things happened to us.
在过去有各种各样的痛令我们痛苦的事情曾经发生了。
And at the time we couldn't face the pain.
在当时我们无法去面对这种痛苦。
Especially as little children.
特别是当我们是小孩的时候。
So we learn to suppress that pain.
于是我们就学会了去压抑这种痛苦。
So the pain is unresolved. It's still there in the mind and the body.
因此这种痛苦的话呢并没有得到解决。它依然就是困陷在我们的心意和躯体之中。
So even when we make the choice to be present,
所以说即便是当我们做出决定要去临在当下。
These painful emotions from the past arise and they pull our attention back into the mind.
而这些来自于过去的印象的这些痛苦的情绪就会在我们想要去临在当下的时候突然间冒出来，然后把我们拉入到心意的世界当中。
Yeah, so these painful tendencies from the past, these past impressions, they're compared to weeds.That are surrounding our bhakti creeper.
因此可以说这些来自于过去的充满痛苦的倾向，或者是这些印象、心意当中的这些图像的话呢，就像是杂草一样，然后包围着我们内心的这个 bhakti 的树苗。
So as we become more established in the present moment awareness.
因此随着我们逐渐的能够稳处于当下这一刻的知觉之中。
And as we're able to chant with attention and presence.
随着我们能够去带着专注来念诵圣名。
When these painful impressions from the past arise in the form of depression.
所以说当这些痛苦的来自于过去的情绪以抑郁的这种形式出现在我们的心意当中的时候。
Now we're able to allow the painful feelings to arise.
而现在我们就能够允许这种痛苦的情绪出现。
Into the light of our present moment awareness.
然后将这些情绪带入到我们在当下这一刻的知觉之光中。
And Krishna says that if we can remain equal towards these feelings,
而 Krishna 就说，如果我们能够保持着一种平等的这种态度来对待这些情绪的话，
then our identification with them can release.
那么我们对于这些情绪的认同就会得以释放。
And that old suppressed emotion can release.
所有这些被压抑了的情绪都能够得以释放。
And then gradually it can no longer affect us.
逐渐的这些情绪就不会再影响到我们。
Yeah, so that's the process of purification.
而这个就是净化的过程。Okay. 好，所以这个问题就问完了。Okay, next one. 顶拜玛拉贾不能怎么理解阿加米勒在临死的时候呼喊出 Narayana 的名字，就变成了纯粹的奉献者，回到了外昆塔。理由是：第一，他从事了许多罪恶的活动；第二，他虽然呼喊了主的圣名，但是他在呼喊时想到的是他的儿子。然后第三，如果就像他那样做就能成为纯粹的奉献者，我们现在还有必要遵守那么多的规范原则吗？ Okay, so Guru Maharaj, this devotee is asking that he just cannot understand that how come Ajamil can become a pure devotee just at the time of death, calling out the name of Narayana and go back to Vaikuntha, because number one,he has done a lot of sinful activities. And number two, although he's calling out the Lord's holy name, he's actually calling out his son. And number three, if a person can just like him, can become a pure devotee just like him, then do we still have the necessity to follow, to observe so many rules and regulations?
Well, that's a lot of questions. Well, really his question is the whole discussion of this section of the Bhagavatam.
实际上就是这位奉献者所说到的这些理由的话呢，都是整个这个博迦瓦坛当中这一节的话呢，他所探讨的一个内容。
And so it's explained, you know, there's pure chanting, but there's also impure chanting.
所以说有解释到，就是有这种纯粹的念诵，也有这种不纯粹的念诵。
Which is called Nama Bas, which is not the full name, but just a reflection, a glimpse of the name.
所以说这个叫做 Nama Bas, 意思也就是并不是圣名的全然的一种反应，而只是一部分的这种反应。
Yeah, so Ajamil, you know, he was chanting a Nama Bas.
所以说阿加米勒是这种Namabas 的这种方式来念诵圣名的。
Which means that he wasn't chanting with the intention of worshiping the Lord.
而这就意味着当他念诵圣名的时候，并不是带着去崇拜主的这种意图来念诵圣名的。
At the same time, he was innocently chanting the holy name. He wasn't trying to escape his sinful activities by chanting.
Oh, he wasn't trying to escape the sinful activities to okay, I got it. 所以然而同时的话呢，阿加米勒他在念诵圣名的过程当中，实际上他是一种有点天真的这样一种状态，就是意思是什么呢？就是他并不是想要通过念诵来逃避自己曾经犯下的罪恶活动。
Yeah, so the effects of namabas or the impure chantingone cannot get love of God, but one can get liberation and freedom from sinful reactions.
One cannot get love of God, but one can get liberation and free from sinful activities.
Yes.
Okay, 所以说对于阿加米勒所进行的这种 Namabas, 这种不纯粹的圣名念诵来说的话呢，他所带来的结果就是他不能得到主的这个神之爱，就是他没有办法得到主的爱，但是他却能够得到一种解脱，一种净化，从所有的这个罪恶活动当中得以净化的这样一个结果。
Now, if we're, the Padma Purana says, is even if you're infected by the 10 offenses,
然后莲花往事书就说，即便你遭受了这个十项冒犯的这样一个影响，
If one continues to chant without stopping,
而如果一个人持续的去念诵圣名，从不终结的话，
Eventually one will overcome the 10 offenses and come to pure chanting.
那么最终这个人就会克服所有的十相冒犯，到达纯粹的念诵的境界。
Now in most cases, if one will not continue chanting, if one continues to commit the ten offenses, because you won't be experiencing any pleasure.
嗯，OK， 其实对于绝大多数的这个情况来看的话呢，如果一个人要是持续的带着这个十项冒犯来去念诵的话哈，他是不会继续去念诵圣名的，因为他无法在这个念诵的过程当中体验到任何的这种快乐。
And you may not experience any improvement in yourself.
嗯，然后你可能在这样的这个带着冒犯去念诵的过程当中，你也体会不到任何的进展，任何的这个提升。
Unless you're trying to, you know, overcome the offenses.
除非你是在努力的想要去克服这个冒犯。
Then it's like rowing a boat and leaving the anchor in the water.
哦，所以这就有点像是你在划船，结果这个船呢抛锚抛在了那个地方。
You're going through the ocean, you're going through the motion, but you're not moving.
然后所以说就是不断的划呀划呀划呀，然后但是结果由于抛锚了，所以说你这个船又划不动。
But if one can continue chanting, you know, with faith, by good association, then gradually one will also try and improve oneself and overcome the ten offenses.
如果就是你能够在念诵的过程当中带着信心，并且有着良好的涟漪的话，那么逐渐的你就能够在念诵之中去克服这些冒犯。
But we see, you know, that it's very common for people to begin chanting and then stop chanting and then they come back to chanting and then they stop again and maybe, you know, they go a few lifetimes like that.
OK， 而实际上的话呢，就是一个很常见的现象，就是很多奉献者的话呢，就开始念诵，然后过了一段时间以后就停止了念诵，然后接着呢又过一段时间，然后又继续开始念诵，然后过了一段时间，然后又开始停止了念诵，所以很有可能这样的奉献者都会有好几世的生命，就是这样一种断断续续的念诵的过程。
And then eventually, you know, they have become purified enough by chanting that they can chant with steadiness.
而最终的话呢，他们通过这个念诵得到了足够的净化，于是就能够很稳定的进行念诵了。
Yeah, so we see devotees like that. They take up chanting, and they never look back. It's just like they'd already been chanting for 50 lifetimes or something.
OK， 所以说我们可以看到有些例子的话哈，像有些奉献者就是当他们一开始念诵的时候就再也没有停止过，就再也没有往回看到过他们自己的这个物质生活，所以说很有可能说不定人家已经都花了50世的这个人体生命来念诵的时候才能够做到这一点。
Alright, one time Prabhupada was asked, how long does it take to, you know, surrender to Krishna?
所以有一次曾经有人就问帕帕德，就说就需要有多长的时间一个奉献者才能够去臣服于主 Krishna 呢？
Two seconds. You can surrender in 2 seconds if you want to. You can surrender right now.
然后帕帕就说你可以2秒钟的时间就可以臣服于主 Krishna， 你现在你就可以臣服于主 Krishna。
Yeah, so but realistically because of impression, you know, because of ignorance and our past bad habits, it takes time.
但是从现实的角度来看的话呢，由于我们的这种愚昧无知的状态，由于我们曾经在过去所犯下的这些错误的拥有的这些错误的习性，所以说真的还是需要花些时间的。
So it's mentioned, you know,in a previous purport by Srila Viswanatha Chakravarti Thakur, that Ajamil in his current life and also in his previous lifetimes, he had performed devotional service.
所以说在之前的这个要旨当中的话呢，其实就已经说到了阿加米勒在他的今生 然后以及在他的前世的话呢都从事过奉爱服务。
But he gave it up.
但是他却放弃了。
And, you know, became involved in sinful life.
然后完全跑去参与到这个罪恶活动当中。
But because of his previous devotional service, he was able to name his son Narayan.
但是由于他曾经所从事过的这些奉爱服务，所以说他把自己的儿子取名叫 Narayan.
And on a subconscious level, he had some affection for the name Narayan.
嗯，所以说在这个潜意识的这样一个层面上来说的话呢，阿加米勒对于主 Narayan 是有一些感情在里面的。
Yeah, so that result of his bhakti came to fruit at that moment as he was dying.
Oh, that result of bhakti come into fruit, huh?
Yeah, his previous bhakti.
Oh, okay, got it. 也因此的话呢，就是当阿加米勒在临死的时候，他在前世，就是他所有从事过的这个 bhakti 的奉爱服务，就最终结为了果实。
But we'll see in the story, he doesn't immediately go back to Godhead.
不过我们接下来就会再看到这个故事当中继续描述到，就是他不是立刻就回到了神手那儿了。
But he does come to full consciousness and he has determination, you know, to execute pure bhakti for the rest of his life and purify himself.
但是我们确实就看到接下来他会有了这种完全的这种觉知，就是想要去进行想要在生命的最后的这个部分的话进行纯粹的奉爱服务。
Yeah, so we follow the rules and regulations so that we can develop pure bhakti and so that we can awaken and become free from suffering. I mean, there's no reason not to do it. There's every reason to do it.
那 suffering. 所以说我们去遵守这个规范原则的话呢，其目的就是要得以让自己能够真正的觉醒，从所有的这些痛苦当中解脱出来。所以说可以说没有任何的一个理由，就是我们不去做这样的一个事情啊。
Just like when you have some disease.
这就像是当你得病的时候。
If you want to become healthy and enjoy yourself, then you have to restrict your diet, eat only the things that are good for you, and take the medicine.
这就像是当你生病的时候，你为了想要能够再次健康，能够想再次去得以享受这种健康的生命的时候的话，那么你肯定要去控制自己的饮食习惯，然后做一些体育锻炼，甚至是吃药等等的这种方式才行。
Yeah, so the four regulated principles, actually, the effect of following those principles is it will prevent us from so much future suffering and current suffering.
Prevent from future suffering and current suffering. 也因此的话呢，当我们去遵循这四项规范原则的时候，它所带来的这个结果，这个影响，那就是能够避免让我们在未来遭受很多痛苦，也是能够避免让我们在现在遭受很多痛苦的。
Yeah. And then help us develop pure bhakti, you know, because the sinful life is. It's like pouring water on a fire. Spiritual life is like trying to start a fire, and at the same time, if you're pouring water on it, you can never get going.
所以说这四项遵循这四项基本原则，就是在帮助我们培养出纯粹的 bhakti, 纯粹的奉爱。而如果同时我们还去进行这个罪恶活动的话，这就像是你在给自己的内心这个点火，这个 bhakti 的小火苗刚刚开始的时候，你就往上面泼水一样的，那肯定就不行呗。
So, in our life, and even in terms of the life of Ajamil, we cannot look at, you know, our path in bhakti in terms of just one life. We have to look at the bigger picture.
We have to look at the bigger picture, not just the one life in bhakti.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
也因此的话呢，就是当我们在看到自己的人生以及包括看到阿加米勒的这一生的时候，我们应该能够以更大的视角去看待自己在追求 bhakti 的这条道路是什么样子的，而不应该仅仅是局限于我们在这一世的生命是怎么进行 bhakti 的。
So it is possible to go back to Godhead in one life or even in 2 seconds.
因此就是用一生的这个用一生的生命啊，或者是就2秒钟是有可能你能回归守神的。
Yeah, so it's up to us.
It's up to us, huh? 所以说这取决于我们。
OK, thank you for your question.
嗯，好，感谢你的问题。 OK, Guru Maharaj, I think, oh, the second last one. 您说嘎达达尔见到那位非常富有的奉献者时，他还吸着烟，请问这是怎么回事呢？一位纯粹的奉献者怎么会吸烟呢？ So Padmanochan, devotee is asking that you were just mentioning the story that the Gadadhar Pandit was meeting that very rich and opulent devotee, and that devotee, okay, his name is
Pundarik Vidyanidhi.
Yeah, Kundamrita. Pundarik Vidyanidhi. And he was actually smoking. So how's that possible? How a pure devotee is smoking?
Well, you know, sometimes it's hard to understand the activities of pure devotee, especially those that are just beyond the material platform.
Beyond the material platform. 所以说有些时候我们是很难去理解纯粹的奉献者所进行的活动的，然后特别是那些已经超越了这个物质层面的这些奉献者，纯粹奉献者的这些活动。
Yeah, sometimes they act unconventionally.
有时他们的行为举止就是让人觉得就是超乎常理的，超乎常规的。Guru Maharaj.
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, okay. 好，这个 Guru 的回答就到此了。然后 okay, the last one, Shama Kripa Mataji is asking, 我们在工作过程中应该如何正确去理解以及做到不依附结果，而只是去依附 Guru 与 Krishna 呢？ So Shama Kripa is asking that, during our work process, that when we are working, how to properly understand and how to properly understand not getting attached to the results, but to actually depend on Guru and Krishna.
So it just means that when we're working, we should be fully present and concentrated on the work we're doing without, you know, worrying about the result.
所以说这就意味着当我们在工作的时候应该去全然的专注于自己所在做的工作，而不会去担忧这个工作所带来的结果，结果是什么样子的。
Right, just like Krishna tells Arjuna, do your duty, fight, but depend upon me.
这就像是 Krishna 对 Arjuna 说，你就去做好，履行好你的职责，去打仗，然后sorry Guru, what's the last sentence?
Depend upon me for the result.
然后把结果都交给我，把结果都依附于都依附于我。
Yeah, so if we're doing some work and we're worrying about the result as we're doing it, then we're not, you know, we're not pulling all of our energy into the present moment.
Not putting energy. 所以因此就是当我们在工作的时候，结果却是在担忧这个结果，这个工作所带来的成果会是什么样子的。实际上这就说明我们并没有把所有的精力，所有的能量都放在当下的这一刻这从事的这个工作的过程当中。
And on a very subtle level, we're actually creating the result that we don't want.
而实际上在这个非常精微的层面上来看，我们反而是创建了制造了那些我们并不想要的结果。
Even in science now, in quantum physics, they've determined that consciousness affects matter.
They already proves that.
Yeah, mathematically.
甚至是就是在现在的这个甚至是在现在的这个科学界当中，特别是量子力学当中的话哈，实际上科学家们都已经从数学上证明了这个知觉，也就是意识，它影响了这个物质。
Yeah, so where attention goes, energy flows.
因此你的关注力所去到的地方，也就是你的能量，你的精力所集中到的地方。
So if we're doing some work,and we're expecting to fail, like holding out in our mind that picture of failure.
哼，也因此，如果当我们在工作的这个过程当中，然后心里面就老是想的这个画面，就在想，哎呀，我会不会失败呢？这个事情能不能做成功呢？嗯。
And then we're worried. Oh, what are people going to think about me? I failed. That's just,you know. Then we're just thinking totally in terms of our false ego.
嗯。terms of false ego. 而如果我们在这个过程当中总是去担忧着，如果我要是失败了，别人会怎么看我，别人会怎么想我，那实际上这个时候就完全是在以假我的这样一个 以假我来做你的工作了。
So when Prabhupada came to America,
因此当帕帕德去到美国的时候
with nothing,
然后身上一分钱都没有。
Everyone told him, don't go.
每个人都给他说，哎，你就别去了。
Everyone told him, you know, you're going to fail.
每个人都给帕帕德说，你肯定要失败的。
But that's not what Prabhupada concentrated on.
但是这个他们所说的这些话根本就不是当时帕帕德所关注的那一点。
He said, my spiritual master gave me this order.
帕帕德就说，我的灵性导师给了我这样一个训示。
Let me try.
就让我试一试吧。
And that in itself was success.
那么也就这一点本身来说就已经是成功了的。
And whatever result that came, he never took credit for himself.
而无论他所做的这个事情的结果如何，他都从不认为这是他自己的功劳。
Yeah, many teachers and spiritual leaders,you know, their movements are named after them.
很多的这些灵性团体里面的这些导师的话哈，他们所开展的这个灵性活动，灵性的这个团体都是以他们的名字来命名的。
Prabhupada never did that.
而帕帕的从来没有这样做。
He always gave credit to his spiritual master and to Krishna.
他总是把所有的功劳都归功于他的灵性导师，归功于主 Krishna 身上。
Yeah, so for any success he had, he didn't take credit for it. And he truly didn't see it as belonging to him.
也因此帕帕德所获得的任何一项成功，他从来都没有看作是他自己所做下的这个伟业，这个创举。
So he didn't name our society the International Society for Prabhupada Consciousness.
也因此他没有把我们的这个团体命名叫做这个国际帕布帕德知觉意识协会。
And he wasn't attached to taking the credit either.
而且他也并不依附于，并不执着于要去拿到这个功劳。
Often he offered his godbrothers to come and help him, and he said, you know, I'll give you all facility, and I'll help you out. And he didn't want to just even keep it for himself. He wanted to share it.
Okay. 而且很多时候，当时帕帕德都是就是给他的神兄弟说，就是请你来帮帮我，然后我给你提供所有这些必要的这些设施啊，或者是帮助啊等等的，请你一起来帮助我，一起来传播。然后所以说帕帕德并不是要把所有的这些东西都让他自己一个人占有，而是希望能够去跟他的神兄弟们，跟别人一起分享。
I forget who there's a famous educator, you know, he teaches business and management and success.
You mean in America?
Yeah, I forget his name.
然后 Guru 就说到，他说在美国的话呢，有一个很出名的一个教育家，就是他应该是给那些公司企业，就是像关于管理啊、商业啊，以及就是成功学方面的这些内容。
And he says, it's amazing what you can accomplish if you don't intend to take credit yourself, if you want to give the credit to others. You can work hard, but you're not attached to the result, and you're not attached to being recognized for it.
所以说这个教育家他说就是当你再去想要尝试成就某件事情的时候，你并不是认为这个事情是你自己做到的，而实际上是其他人来做到的，并且你那么如此 辛苦的为之付出，但你却并不会去执着于这个事情的结果是怎么样子的，那所带来的这个结果的话呢，实际上反而是令人非常震撼的。
So when we're working or doing something and we're materially motivated, you know, motivated by our false ego, really there's two aspects of that.
嗯，也因此，就是当我们在物质上去从事任何一项活动，而这个活动是完全是经由我们的假我所，就是我们的假我激励着我们去做一件事情的时候，它就会带来两个结果。
The first aspect is that we're attached.To getting credit for the result. We want everyone to know I did it.
那么第一个结果就是我们会很执着于这个我们所做的事情的这个功劳，这个业绩，哦，都是我做到了，我要所有人都认可，是我自己办到的这件事情，很了不起。
And therefore, then there's competition. Everyone is, you know, trying to get the credit for themselves. So ultimately, people can't work together.
所以因此的话呢，此时整个这个团队当中就会有很多的竞争出现，然后每个人都期望这个结果是他自己做到的，也因此最终的话呢，就没有谁能够跟谁两个一起合作做事了。
But if you're working hard and you're not attached to getting credit for it, then you can encourage everybody else. You're not in competition with anyone.
而如果你要是非常努力的付出，但是你却并不去执着的要求自己所付出的就得到别人认可，或者是得到别人的这种嘉奖、欣赏的话，那么实际上你是在鼓励着所有其他人来一起参与到其中，而不会导致彼此之间的竞争。
Yeah, so there's much more opportunity to create something wonderful.
也因此，这就会带来更多的机会，来创造出更美好的事物。
Now the other aspect, or you could say the other side of the coin, is that when we're attached to the result, we're afraid of failure, and therefore we don't give it our best.
We don't give it our best.
Yeah, because we're afraid of failing. We think, oh, I'm just going to fail anyway.
OK, 好，而另一面的话呢，可以说是这个硬币的另一面，那就是当我们要是很执着于依附于这个自己做的事情的结果的时候，就会害怕失败，然后我们这个时候就并没有把自己最好的给予到其中。
Yeah, so not being attached means you don't care if you get credit and you're not worried about failure.
也因此的话呢，不执着于自己活动的结果，那么就意味着两点。第一个，你不会执着于要求得到别人的认可和赞赏，就不会执着于要求别人认为这都是我做的怎么怎么样。而第二个的话呢，你不会去担忧这个事情最终结果会是什么样子的。
You just want to do your best, you know, to please Guru and Krishna.
而你只是想要去做到最好，然后好去取悦主和 Krishna, Guru 和 Krishna。
Even if you do fail, you want to try your best.
即便你确实是会失败，但是你依然会尽自己最大努力。
Yeah, so the point is to do your duty and to do the service.
所以说这一点，就是我要谈到的关键一点，那就是去做自己的职责，去做自己的服务。
Is that it?
Yes, I think that's the end of question.
Okay, wow. I made you work hard for 2 hours.
No, you actually work hard, Guru. I'm fine.
Well, thank you very much. It's so good to have you back. And I thank Sati Matiji, of course, for facilitating the class. And I'll talk to you tomorrow, won't I? Ryan, right?Are you gone? I think we lost connection.
Hare Krishna, 我们又有问题提上来了，看到没
？Good time. Well, thank you, Sati Matiji. All glories to Prabhupada, all glories to Srimad Bhagavatam. 谢谢。
Oh, Maharaj?
Yeah.
Madayani, Madaji, we lost her.
Yeah, we lost her.
But now we have any question.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, from Lila Smarana?
Yeah. Smarana and Lila Smarana and Hari Vamsa Babu.
Oh, and Hari Vamsa.
Yeah.
Well.
Do you have time?
Yes, but how about it? We don't have a translator now.
I call Nada Yangi again.
Okay.
对，我以为刚才是完了，
结束了哦。但是我们现在又提出来两个问题，你看到吗？
看到了。Guru Maharaj, there are like two more questions.
Yeah, I saw that.
So.
Okay, we can answer them.
You mean answer them now, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, 好。哎，不好意思哈，刚才引起了一场误
会。If you have the time, do you have the time now, or do you have to?
Yes, I have the time. Just if you still feel okay.
is Sati okay? Does she have the time?
Sati Maharaji,
you
没有时间
？Yeah, I have time. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. 那我们继续来看下面的这个问题。Lila Smarana Mataji 在问。主 Chaitanya 说的只唱诵圣名一次就是奉献者，那这一次的唱诵指的是像阿扎米勒那样毫无冒犯的唱诵呢？ So Lila Smarana Mataji is asking that Lord Chaitanya said that even the person just chants the holy name for one time and he is considered to be a devotee. So such the one time chanting refers to the offenseless chanting like what Ajamila did?
Yes. In the sense it's the Nam Abbas chanting. It's chanted with innocence.
Oh, but still imperfect.
Yes.
Chanting innocence. 是的，这个可以说就是阿扎米勒的那个练，当时他唱诵的那一次的状态的话呢，实际上是一种很天真的这样一种状态来去练诵的，但虽然说依然是不完美不纯粹的练诵。
Or sometimes people chant because of the influence of a devotee and they try chanting.
或者是有些时候一个人念诵的话呢，是由于周围的奉献者的影响，然后于是他们就尝试的去念了一次。
The point is chanting is always powerful and it's never in vain and it always has, you know, a transcendental result.
所以说要关键的一点就是念诵圣名是绝对有力量、绝对强大的。你即便是念诵一次。它都不会是毫无这个结果的这样一种状态，就是说你只要练诵一次，你都是会有超然的影响、超然的这个结果在其中的。
And we can only understand it by looking at the big picture.
而我们只有在更大的视角、更大的这个一个画面当中来去看的时候，才能够去理解到这一点。
Yeah, one who doesn't have some previous connection with bhakti.Will not chant the holy name, or they won't have the opportunity to chant the holy name.
所以说一个之前就是并没有跟圣名有过联系的一个人的话呢，他可能不会去念诵圣名，或者也不会有机会去念诵圣名。
So if one does chant the holy name, even if it's only once, we can understand that they have some previous connection.Even though we may not know what that connection is.
所以因此的话呢，即便一个人只是念诵了一次圣名，那么我们都可以认为他曾经在前世，在以前就是跟圣名之间是有联系的，即便我们是看不到这个联系是什么。
In fact, the other verse. That we were going to chant today. Remember, I gave you the wrong aho verse. verse actually explains that this point.
所以我们今天就是在课堂上所讲到的那个博加瓦坛的那个诗节，就是那个aho那个 putana 的那个诗节的话呢，就刚好解释了这一点。
You want to look up that verse? We can read it real quick.
I'm looking at it now.
It's 333.7.
333.7. 3337, 哈，哦，所以说博伽瓦坛的第三篇33章第七诗节，嗯。
Yeah. Oh, how glorious are those whose tongues are chanting the holy name, even if born in the family of dog eaters. Such persons are worshipable. Persons who chant the holy name of your lordship must have executed all kinds of austerities and fire sacrifices and achieved all the good manner of the Aryans. To be chanting the holy name of your lordship, they must have bathed in the holy places of pilgrimage, studied the Vedas, and fulfilled everything required.
嗯，因此《博伽瓦坛》第三篇第33章第七诗节的译文，用舌头歌唱您圣名的那些人是有多么的荣耀啊！这样的人哪怕是生长出生在吃狗肉的家庭中，都是值得敬重的。吟诵吟唱您圣名的人，必然从事过所有种类的苦修，举行过各种火祭，获得了雅利安人所有美好的品质，能够歌唱您超然的圣品，他们必定在圣地沐浴过，必定研习过伟达经，按照要求做到了一切。
OK, next question.
嗯，好，我们来看下一个问题。Hari Vamsa Das 塔布问道，顶拜咕噜怎么在一个不平和时间不规律的工作或事业中保持 Krishna 知觉？我们知道 Guru 的曾经的消防工作就是这种状态，可能经常加班到深夜。 So Hari Vamsa Das Prabhu is asking, how can a person, how can a devotee maintain Krishna consciousness in a how to say, like quite challenging job or career? Like such a career usually requires irregular timeinvolvement, like, you know, what you used to have to do, you know, to be a paramedics, you know, probably many times you have to work at very late light.
Yes.
嗯，确实。嗯。
Yeah, or even when I taught English in Japan, I left early in the morning and came home late at night, and I had to do all of my chanting on a crowded train.
哦，甚至就是当我在日本去教英语的时候，在当时的话呢，早上我一大早就出门去上班，然后晚上很晚才回到家，于是我不得不就在日本的那个火车上面，就是很拥挤的火车上面去念诵。
So, you know, we go through different phases in our life.
嗯，我们经历着不同的人生阶段。
Yeah, but somehow or other, we have to maintain our vows, even if, you know, sometimes our chanting situation is not ideal.
嗯，但无论如何的话呢，我们都应该去维持做到自己就是念诵的这个要每天念诵十六圈的这样一个誓言，即便我们所处的这个环境是并不是很利于念诵的。
Well, we have to be practical.
我们必须要非常讲究实际。
And we have to be flexible.
并且要非常的灵活。
And that means we're able to adjust to different situations.
嗯，而这个要保持灵活的一种状态，就意味着我们能够去适应各种各样不同的状况。
So I even had to learn how to chant silently.
嗯，我甚至不得不去曾经学会怎么样去默念。嗯。
But all of those difficult times of, you know,brought me to where I am now, really.
但是所有我曾经历过的这些困难的状况的话呢，都其实最终把我带到了现在，今天我所处的这样一种境况，这种状态之中。
So keeping our initiation vows, you know, through all the different phases that we go through in life, you know, over time, develops, you know, our Krishna consciousness.
嗯，也因此的话，当我们经历着不同的人生阶段的过程当中，我们就一直维持着、维系着自己在启迪的时候发下的誓言。那么，随着时间的推移的话，我们就能够逐渐发展出 Krishna 知觉。
Again, we have to look at the big picture, not just the one little frame.
One little frame. 嗯，也因此的话呢， 再一次我要强调的就是，我们必须要以更大的图景、更大的图像来看待这一切，而不是只是看到这其中的一幅画面而已。
Krishna knows our heart.
Krishna 知道我们内心是什么怎么想的。
Yeah, so we have to do our best, you know, to maintain our to do our material duties and our spiritual duties. And, you know, I always emphasize quality over quantity.
而我们也因此的话呢，就必须要尽最大的努力来做好。履行好自己在物质方面的职责以及在灵性方面的责任。那么我一直都给大家强调的是，念诵的品质要更加比这个念诵的数量更重要。
So each devotee has their own, you know, unique, challenges they have to face in life.
所以念诵的这个质量比数量更重要，我纠正一下啊。也而每一个奉献者的话呢，他都面对着人生当中很独一无二的这样一种状况。
And so we have to take advantage of the time that we have, you know, to be Krishna conscious.
也因此我们要利用好自己所拥有的时间，来从而培养出 Krishna 知觉。
And at the time of death, we will be tested.
然后在死亡的那一刻的时候，我们就会接受考验。
So everything we're doing moment to moment leads up to that one point.
也因此我们在每一刻所做的事情也就最终导向了最终死亡的这一刻。
And so the next moment is determined by this moment.
而下一刻也就是由我们现在的这一刻所决定的。
So in this moment, we can manage our life. We can manage everything.
也因此在现在的这一刻的话呢，我们是可以管理好自己的人生的。
So be present and do your best and just maintain your initiation vows and everything will work out.
所以说就好好的活在当下的这一刻，尽你最大努力来维持来荣耀你在起义的时候发下的誓言，那么最终的话呢，所有的一切都会很 OK 很好的。
Thank you for your question.
谢谢你的问题。
Now I really do have to go.
现在我确实都不得不下课了。时间到了。
Okay, thank you, Narayani. Thank you, Sati Mataji. And I thank all the devotees. All glories to Prabhupada, all glories to Srimad Bhagavatam.Talk to you tomorrow.
Yes, talk to you tomorrow. 好，所以说感谢大家的聆听哈。那么今天的这个外昆塔之音就结束了，愿大家有美好的知觉的一天。